I want you to get your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John. And that is towards the very end of your Bible. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. You have the general epistles. 1 John is right after 2 Peter. And of course, right before 2 John. I'd like you to turn to 1 John, and while you're turning there, I do have a few announcements. Again, our regular church service times are always every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We also have a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. in the building on Worth Street. However, this Wednesday night's Bible study will be canceled because Anna has an elementary school program that we will be attending to watch her do. So we won't be here on Wednesday night. But we will have our Monday morning prayer meeting tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. Again, it's on the building on Worth Street. We do need someone to sign up to start the fires and clean the church for the month of April. And so if it's on your heart or you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart to do so, listen to Him. God will bless you for your obedience to Him. But we need someone to be willing to serve in that capacity. Some upcoming dates to remember, Friday and Saturday of April 28th and 29th, we do have our marriage seminar with the district directors, Brother Felix and Judy Sanchez, and they are over the arm of marriage enrichment with the Central District. And so we do have some sign-up sheets here if you will be attending, okay? It's a little brochure that kind of explains what's happening as well as the schedule. And so if you would like and can sign up, that would be great. If you can have it filled out and returned with your payment, because we want to, of course, get that buffet food there at the Azteca de Oro, Lord willing, on that Saturday morning. And so if you can, you fill it out and turn that money in next Sunday, that would help us to be able to get a head count, to be able to have all of that set up for when the marriage seminar does take place. We do need a minimum of 30 people to have the accommodations there at the restaurant. The nice thing about it will be that we don't have to clean any dishes. We don't have to warm anything up. It would all be there. We can just go and eat. So that makes it real easy and convenient. So again, the charge for that will be $10 per person, be $20 per couple, but it will be a buffet lunch, so you'll be able to eat as much as you so desire, which is usually pretty good, maybe not good the next day, but that's okay, all right? You only do that once in a while, that's all right. Also, just an announcement for the ladies. If you're planning on attending the women's conference, which the dates are May 5th, 6th, and 7th, your registration and payment needs to be mailed by tomorrow, Monday. The deadline was actually on Saturday, yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. And so, can I see a hands of the ladies that were planning on going? Just so we can kind of know in general how many we're planning. Can I see one there? Couple hands. Okay. See Sister Marie afterwards and just let her know for sure of your plans so that we can make sure that we get the registrations in. Sister Marie's going to call and make sure and see if we can possibly get the registration discount before. If not, then so be it. Amen. But I'm sure it'll be a nice time for the ladies and for the women of the church. So if you can, let us know who will be going. And I do want to encourage you, if you've never been to one, or maybe you've been to one but don't know for sure to go, I just want to encourage you to go and be blessed with other women that are serving the Lord with the like heart, like-mindedness with you. It's nice to be able to fellowship with other ladies as well. And so keep that in mind for May 5th, 6th, and 7th. Let us know of your intentions. For the children's Easter egg hunt, we request and welcome any treats for the Easter egg hunt for the children on Easter Sunday. That would be any kind of treats, candies, boiled eggs. And of course, if you can do that, we're trying to work all that together. And so it's coming quickly, isn't it? Easter Sunday. Thank God it's not about the eggs. It's about Jesus, really. Yeah. Amen. So we always want to keep that in mind. And so anyways, praise the Lord for all that He's doing. If you're happy about all the Lord is doing in your heart and in your church, say amen. Amen. Well, in your Bibles, you should be in the general epistle of 1 John. 1 John, and I want to speak with you today a continuation of what I spoke last Sunday. Last Sunday I spoke with you a message entitled Sons of God. Today is going to be Sons of God Part 2. Sons of God Part 2. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do ask in the name of Jesus that you would quicken our minds and our understanding concerning your word. I do ask, Lord, that you would speak with clarity, Lord God, in a way that only you can. Anoint your word, I do pray, and I ask that through it all that you alone would be glorified in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Last Sunday, as we talked about sons of God, the point that was reiterated over and over again is that as God's children, we don't need to fear rejection. We have been adopted into the family of God, and because we are now within the household of faith, in the household of God by faith, we have been called to a place of peace, a place of rest and security. We've also been given, through our adoption into the family of God, an inheritance, something we can look forward to. But what I want to share with you today is something that I believe is very important, because I'm sure that there are times that you have struggled with the question in your mind or in your heart, am I really a child of God? And if that question has ever arisen, how do we know that we are children of God? You see, we preachers will say there comes a point in our lives where we will receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, which is important and is what we do. But when we receive Him as Lord and Savior, there's not always feelings. How many of you can say amen to that? We were adopted into the family of God by faith, not by feelings. And there's going to be days when we don't feel like we're children of God. There's going to be days that it doesn't even seem like we are. But when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you sincerely meant it with all of your heart, you have become a child of God by faith. Remember, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so your feelings don't determine if you're a child of God or not. When my children were born, they didn't ask me, am I an Archuleta? When they were born, they took on my name. And with the taking on of my name, they will always be Archuletas, except for Anna when she gets married and takes on a different name. But she will always be a part of my family. How many of you know what I mean? That's simple. But they don't have to ask, am I your son or am I your daughter? They were born flesh of my flesh and of my blood, and they're in the family. Amen? And so there shouldn't be the question, you know, to my wife, hey, am I your son or am I your daughter? Or to me, am I your child? You know, I remember sometimes when we were young, you know, when I was born in Archuleta, in the household of Fernandez and Jenny Archuleta. And I remember there would be times when we would argue and fight. How many of you ever been there with your brothers and sisters? And I remember there would be times when we would go and tease our younger sister. And one time we told our sister Melanie, you were adopted. You're not really an Archuleta. They misplaced you in the hospital and you're somebody else's. She would get all sad and heartbroken. Because it's funny, she was born with blonde hair. She was born with blonde hair. Unlike the rest of us, she had blonde hair and everything else. But she's pure Archuleta. And so we would tease her and do that. And so sometimes she would get frustrated, but it was all a joke. She was an Archuleta and always will be. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so there is never a question as to what house we're a part of, because we've taken on the name, and with being in that house, you've taken on the blessing of being in that family and in that house. In the same way, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've taken on His name. Amen. You have His name. You are in Christ by faith. And you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. But let me explain. As a child of the living God, being blood washed and saved by the power of God, you have become His child, and there is security in your salvation. You are secure in being a child of God. Amen. But because you and I Because we have human free will, there still could come the time where we can turn our back on our family and say, I'm no longer yours, change our last name, change our name, and totally turn away from that family, can't we? So human free will is still just as intact. But as long as you are sincerely walking with God with all of your heart, no matter the mistakes, the situations that come up, as long as you're sincerely walking with Him, you don't have to fear losing your salvation. Amen? Now, when I talk about losing your salvation, it's actually very difficult for someone to do that. It's not like you're walking around one day and you drop it somewhere and you lost your salvation. That's not the way it works. Amen? There's a heart issue and a turning that will take place, which, of course, is not what we really want to talk about. We're talking about Sons of God, Part 2. Amen? And so when we first get saved, there can become the questions. There can come into our minds the questions, am I really saved? And so I want to clarify for you today with questions, how do I know that I'm a child of God, a son of God? Are there identification marks, ways to know that I am His child? You see, well, I remember when I first got saved, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've mentioned it to you many a time. I accepted Jesus after hearing Billy Graham through one of his television crusades. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in my bedroom on my knees, and I got saved. I didn't get saved by going down an altar in a church. I didn't get saved by someone leading me to Christ personally. It was through evangelist Billy Graham on television, and I got saved. Amen. But I didn't attend church for 3 or 4 years. And eventually, I started going to a little Assembly of God church there in Capulene, Colorado. But as I began to walk with God and I began to trust Him with all of my heart, there were days that I would question my salvation. There were days when I would be, you know, going through my life or doing whatever, and I would make mistakes, or I would do something sinful, or I would lose my attitude would get the best of me, something. And so then I would feel convicted about it, and I would repent of my sin. And I remember, because of my youth in Christ, I would get on my knees all over again and receive Jesus all over again into my heart, because I wanted to be sure that I was His child. And so I would re-receive Jesus as if that was doing anything, but really it wasn't. I was His child since the first time I received Him. Amen. But there was something in me that wanted to make sure, so I would say that sinner's prayer again and do that. But I remember struggling with that for a while. Just no assurance that I was a child of God. I didn't always feel like one, and was struggling at times. And I can take you to the place in my mom and dad's land where I was walking, and I was talking to God about all of this, and I remember crying out to God, saying, I don't want to be questioning, I don't want to be wondering. And I began to cry out to God about it, and I remember the point where I was walking when I knew that I knew that I knew I was a child of God, and I've never questioned it since. Amen. God wants to assure you that you are His son, His daughter. And so the Apostle John was used of the Lord to help us to understand some of these things. 1 John was written with the intention to let you and me know that we have eternal life. Turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 and look at what his intention for this letter is, so that as we go through the book and begin to ask these questions, how do I know that I'm a child of God? How do I know that I have eternal life? Then we know that we will find it in this little book. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, look at what John says clearly. He says, and I'm reading from the Modern English Version, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And he says it with clarity here. I have written this letter so that you will know that you have eternal life. As a child of God, you can be assured you have eternal life. Amen. Like I said, you've come into an inheritance. You have come into the receiving of all the blessings and benefits of being God's child just as much as Jesus has. just like we discussed last Sunday. So his intention was to show us that we have eternal life. And so if we are wondering at all, if we have really been saved, then we can learn from this book some of the identification marks of being a saved individual. Number one in our questioning is this. If we are children of the living God, then we should be experiencing fellowship with God and with others. So here's the question. Have I experienced spiritual fellowship with God and with others? Look at 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to go through this epistle quickly. Don't worry, we're not going to go through it verse by verse. But look at these verses. How do I know I have eternal life? How do I know that I truly am a son or daughter of God? Well, verses 3 and 4 says this. We declare to you that that which we have seen and heard, that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things to you so that your joy may be complete. And so the question is, are we in fellowship with God? You see, before we received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were children of the devil. But when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we became sons and daughters of God. And because of that transfer from leaving one household into another, there should be fellowship with our Heavenly Father above. Amen. You see, that's what Christianity is all about. Christianity isn't about our Sunday morning service alone. Christianity isn't about the way we dress or even the way that we talk. Christianity isn't about the denomination we're a part of. It's not about water baptism. It's not about taking communion like we will here in a little bit. Christianity is about a relationship with our Heavenly Father above, being His children. And because we are in fellowship with Him, we will be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters, which are a part of the same family, the household of God. Amen. And because we are in fellowship with God, therefore we attend church. Because we are in fellowship with God, we take communion. Amen. Those other things are the result of our fellowship with God. And so are we in fellowship with God and with His people? Well, if we are, that's an identification mark of you being a child of God. Number two. Asking this question, am I sensitive to sin? Am I sensitive to sin? Look at verses 5 through 8. This then is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. John brings something out here very important. Are we sensitive to sin? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And so if we say that we have fellowship with God, then we are in fellowship with Him in the light, aren't we? And so if we're walking in darkness, then it's impossible that we're in the light. You see, light will always dispel, push away darkness, won't it? I don't care how dark the room is, you can get a little tiny match and light it, and it's going to light up that room. May not light it up brightly, but light nonetheless dispels darkness. And so there's the question, am I sensitive to sin? When we were born again, born by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit makes His residence within our hearts, and there will be a greater sensitivity in our hearts to sin and to sinful things in our lives. And so if there is a troubling in your heart when sin comes around, that's a good thing. Amen? Is there a sensitivity in our hearts to sin? If so, that's a good identification mark. Amen? Number 3, listen to this. Am I keeping his commandments? Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 3 and 5, it says this. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Verse 5 says this. But whoever keeps his word truly has the love of God perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. How do we know that we are in Christ? Forgiven, washed by the blood. Well, it says clearly we will obey him. Obedience to God is a sign that we are his children. It's an identification mark that we are his. Somehow, and I don't know which one of my kids is going to come out with it, but whether they like it or not, one of them might come out with my big nose. And that's evidence that they're my child, isn't it? Huh? There's always some kind of similarity to our parents in one way or another. Amen? The other day, all of our kids were there, and we all just snapped and thought, wow, look, all of us have glasses now. There's things that we bestow and we give to our children that show they are our children. One of those identification marks in regards to us being children of God is obedience. Now, it doesn't mean that we're trying to keep the Ten Commandments perfectly to earn righteousness before God or to become his children. That's not how it works. You don't keep the Ten Commandments to become children of God, no. Because you're children of God, you keep his commandments. You understand that? You don't keep the commandments to become his children. No, you are his children, and because he dwells within you, he's going to lead you to obedience. Amen. Remember that. You know, there's people out in the world, they're striving to obey, and they're trying to keep the commandments just to please God and to become his child, and they're going the whole wrong way. They're adopted by faith. And then because they're his children, they obey. Amen. Look at this one. Am I doing the will of God? Look at verse 17 of chapter 2. It says, the world and its desires are passing away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Remember, John said, how do we know we have eternal life? Well, the one that does the will of God lives forever. Are we doing what God desires? And how do we know the will of God? Does anybody know? What's the simplest way for us to know the will of God? How are we going to know the will of God but that we spend time in his word? Amen? This tells us exactly what God's will is. So that by definition, it also means that we will be a people of his word. Amen? Understanding what God's will for our life is. What's he telling you? Is he telling you to forgive someone? Is he telling you to get something right? Is he telling you to stop doing something, to start doing something else, to go here, stop going there? He will speak to us through his word. And when he's speaking to us through his word, he's telling us what his will is. Amen? And it's those keepers of the will of God that will have life eternal. Look at chapter 2, verse 29. Those that are his children have another identification mark. Here's a question, am I doing righteousness? Chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does righteousness is born of him. There are some people who say, oh, I'm a Christian, and their lives betray that profession. But if we're really children of God, we don't have to say, per se, I'm a child of God. I mean, you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, yes. But it's your life that's going to do a lot of speaking. Amen? And those that practice righteousness, these, it says, are children of God. Amen? Am I doing righteousness? Is that an evidence in my life? Look at this. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Am I looking forward to the coming of Christ? Am I looking forward to Jesus coming back? Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says this: consider how much love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. There's a longing in our hearts for His coming, a desire for Him to come back. Now, we don't know exactly what we shall be, but like the Scripture says, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. But there's a desire to see Jesus. Amen? Another one. Am I no longer marked by habitual sin? Chapter 3, verse 9. Look what it says here. Whoever has been born of God does not practice sin, for His seed remains in him. The seed of God is in our hearts. We can't practice sin like we used to. So are we marked, no longer marked, by habitual sin? Now, this is not talking about sinless perfection. You will make mistakes and you will sin as a human being, imperfect. But are we no longer marked by habitual sin? Are we trying to make excuses for it? God forbid. Look at another one, chapter 3, verse 14. I'm almost done. It says this: do I love the brethren? Do I love the brethren? And it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers or brethren. Whoever does not love his brother remains in death. Woo, have mercy, John. Have mercy. Then, in other words, if we're holding hatred or bitterness or unforgiveness towards a brother or a sister, then that's not a good thing, is it? Because the identification mark of a child of God is that we love our brethren. Now, notice it says to love our brethren. It doesn't say become best friends with. Amen? But to love means you're going to pray for them, you're going to respect them, you're not going to talk behind their back. It doesn't matter how bad they rub you the wrong way, we are going to pray for our enemies. Amen? And pray for our brothers and sisters, because you're not always going to get along with everyone in the household of faith. But we're called to love them. Amen? So a distinguishing mark there. Am I loving the brethren? Am I loving the brethren? I'm going to skip some of these. Let's look at this one. Chapter 4, verse 19. Do I love God? 4 verse 19. Do I love God? It says, we love Him because He first loved us. Do we love God? An identification mark of every child of God, we love Him. Amen? And the more we know Him, the more in love with Him we will become. Last but not least, do we believe that Jesus is the Christ? Chapter 5, verse 1. Listen to this. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves the one born of the Father. And so if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we are His. We've got to have faith in Him as our Savior. I'm going to top it all off. Amen? We can't be saved without Jesus. And so a lot of different things that we question in our hearts, our minds. Am I a child of God? Well, there will be identification marks to show that we are. Now, all of these aren't going to be totally complete and perfect, but they're going to be evidenced in our life as we're growing in Him. Amen? You see, it's not feelings that are going to tell you're a child of God, because your feelings are fleeting. Some days you feel like you're flying high and ready to touch God in heaven. You feel so holy and so in touch with Him. Anybody felt like that before? But then there's times when you feel like you lost your wings and flight and you're falling straight down to the earth. Amen? But you don't judge your relationship with God by your feelings. It's a position that you have in Christ. You are His and have been adopted into the family of God. You are His child. Amen? But because you are, there's going to be birthmarks. Evidences that you are His child. In the same way our own children bear resemblance to the parents, we will bear resemblance to our Father above. Amen? And so there's marks, there's distinguishing marks to help us to know that we are children of the living God. And so Lord willing, this has been a blessing to you. Sons of God, part two. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for all that you have done and are doing in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand, Lord, the truth of your word, that we bear, Lord God, in our lives resemblance to you as your children. Even though an adopted son in the natural may never take on the characteristics of the parents because they weren't born into that family, in the spirit, it's a whole different thing. We do begin to take on your characteristics. And so I pray that, Lord, your fruit, the resemblance of you in our lives, would begin to be manifest. And that not only would we see in our own lives that resemblance, Lord, but even people around us would look to us and see that we are children, sons and daughters of God. I pray that we would understand the blessedness of being your children. For Lord, we have obtained an inheritance, a future, and a hope. And so I pray that you would make that very real. And I thank you for it all, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen.